appreciate that. Let me get set up here a minute. Just give me a second here. And, all right. Oh, thanks, I don't need, oh yeah, a timer, right? It's nice to be able to go here at the end of the day. If I go over, no big deal, right? Because nobody's following after me. So, but no, I won't keep you extra long. Are you warm enough? It's getting a little chilly, isn't it? Let me put this down a little bit. All right, in my weekly radio program, which comes on every Sunday evening at 9 p.m., I cover current political, social, economic, prophetic events in the light of biblical teaching. It's the practical application of the Word of God in regard to the doctrines of civil government. The theme for Bridgefest this year is God Speaks. And so given the thrust of my program, my subject this afternoon is God Speaks through politics, through political happenings, really nothing more than world events. And I'm not just saying that because it's my program. I really do believe God speaks through written revelation, the Bible. God speaks through our conscience. And God speaks through natural revelation. Psalm 19, the heavens are declaring the glory of God. Day to day pours forth speech. And included under the heading of natural revelation is also what we can learn from human history, from the rise and fall of nations, from observing human corruption. God has put this all on stage for everyone to see. And I believe we'd all agree that we've all had the scripture confirmed to us by observing the world. If we all lived in a box, we wouldn't be able to understand what the Bible has to say very well. I've also entitled this message, Red Pilled to Salvation. Remember in the Matrix, Morpheus offers Neo the choice between the blue pill and the red pill. If you take the blue pill, the story ends, you wake up in your bed and you believe whatever you want to believe. If you take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth and nothing more. So in political jargon today, taking the red pill has come to mean waking up to conservative, God-centered values, seeing the world as it actually is. But before I get into that, let me make the biblical case that God speaks to us through world events, and if we listen, it'll lead us to God. In the Psalms, there is this reoccurring theme to behold the works of God. You know that, right? In the Psalms, behold the works of God. Psalm 46, come behold the works of the Lord who has wrought desolation on the earth. Psalm 66, come and see the works of God who is awesome in his deeds toward the sons of men. He rules by his might forever. His eye keeps watch over the nations. Psalm 77, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all of your works, and I will muse on all of your deeds. Psalm 92, for you, O Lord, have made me glad in what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord. Your thoughts are very deep. The senseless man has no knowledge, nor does the stupid man understand this. Psalm 111, great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all those who delight in him. Psalm 145, on your wonderful works, I will meditate. And in reading those texts, one might think, well, this is observing and learning about God from nature, where the physical creation becomes an apologetic for the existence of God. And certainly that's true, Psalm 119. But in all of the Psalms that I just read about beholding God and his works, the context is not nature, but observing God's providential work among the nations. His work in raising up Israel. His work in defeating the Egyptians and the Canaanites. His work in raising up Babylon and Assyria. As in the biblical books of Kings and Chronicles, there the works of God are recorded in the political history of Israel. And in this history, people were to see, by observing the policies of the kings and the happenings of the day, that obedience to God's law by the body politic resulted in success and blessing. And the people were to understand that when the body politic disobeyed God, it resulted in failure and curse. You would have to be an ostrich with your head in the sand not to pick up on this. And that's really the point in Psalm 94. Pay attention, you senseless among the people, and when will you understand, you stupid ones? He who chastens the nations, will he not rebuke, even he who teaches man knowledge? So 2 Chronicles ends with a rebuke upon the people for not paying attention to the application of God's word and his work in the political, economic, military situation in Israel. God was speaking to them through national events. Also, in the day of the prophet Jeremiah, the people weren't listening to what God was saying to them in regard to the coming Babylonian invasion. You know, maybe they just concluded that it was a matter of poor diplomacy on the part of their leaders. So Jeremiah writes to them, and he says, well, why is the land ruined? Jeremiah 9. Why is it laid waste like a desert? Well, because you've forsaken my law and you haven't obeyed my voice. So are we listening to what God is saying to us in the headlines? Are we discerning the signs of the time? Another example, the prophet Amos points out that the people were not hearing what God was saying through national events. Amos chapter 4, God says, I withheld the rain. I smote you with scorching wind and mildew. The caterpillar devoured your many gardens and vineyards. I sent plagues. I slew your young men by the sword of foreigners, but you still haven't listened to me. So it's clear that a case can be made that God speaks through us through the providence of world events. And that is very much like the law of God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 says, the law becomes our tutor to lead us to who? To Christ. And the application of the law is really seen in world events. We see the corruption and the futility of man's endeavors. We see the failure of human leaders. So we learn what the Bible has to say about sin. Now, the law doesn't save us. Political news doesn't save us. Natural revelation doesn't save us, but it may lead us to the one who does save us, Christ. Larry Sanger, the founder of Wikipedia, has recently come to Christ. You can check out his testimony on YouTube. So what was his aha moment that brought him to Christ? Well, in all of his research, he saw firsthand the corruption and the radicalization of the left. And he saw what was happening in Hollywood. And for Sanger, world events confirmed that the Bible's true. Like Jesus said, in the last day, lawlessness will increase. The truth of human depravity, opening the trash can of human depravity and taking a big whiff, doesn't save anyone or everyone. But those who are saved come first by a knowledge of sin. Would you agree? Romans chapter 3, through the law comes a knowledge of sin. And that's really my own testimony. Seeing the sin in myself as a teenager, and seeing the sin in the world around me as I watched the evening news with Walter Cronkite, seeing the Vietnam War unfold throughout the 60s, that helped lead me to Christ. I was first red-pilled. I first saw the world for what it's actually all about. And then I came to Christ. Joe Rogan, the number one YouTube podcaster in America, is now attending church. He's also stopped drinking. And from what I understand, part of this was Rogan's interview with the Christian textual scholar Wes Huff. Plus, Rogan doesn't have his head in the sand. He has been following all the nonsense in politics for years. He knows all about the real conspiracies happening in the world. And he's been slowly moving toward the political right. And now he's coming to Christ. Now, even just from a pragmatic point of view. Now, if you've ever listened to his podcast, he's a pretty strange dude. He's a little rough around the edges. But don't we know that God specializes in saving nonconformists? Now, currently, there is a shift in America toward conservative values, a red pilling, especially among young men. 6 out of 10 men under age 30 voted for Trumpian conservatism. And that was a complete surprise because over the past 40, 50 years, everyone under age 30 voted Democrat. And the prevailing thought is that the reason is that the consequences of leftism are being exposed. And many Americans have lost their trust in government. They've lost their trust in big government and in the utopian promises of the left. And it's always a good thing spiritually when the public loses hope in man and human government. The government's response to COVID and the vaccines were a real eye-opener for the public. People no longer trust these legacy institutions because they've lied to us. People have seen how the FBI has lied. The public no longer trusts the media because they lie to promote political parties. And the alternative media, which oftentimes comes from a Christian perspective, has played a big role in this. A Doge has begun to expose the graft and financial corruption in government. Billions funneled off to fund leftist ideologues and their organizations. There's a revolving door where USAID would come back to politicians as donations. Here's a piece by Brandon Smith. He's a conservative journalist who's been in the fight for years. And since I can't say it any better, let me just read his piece here. Quote, "For many years, alternative economists and conspiracy theorists have argued that, according to the evidence, there has been an organized criminal cabal operating a long-running agenda to exploit and eventually destroy Western culture. We have suggested that much of this agenda was well-funded by our own tax dollars, while using government institutions and NGOs as a vehicle for social engineering. In the 20 years since I started working in the Liberty Movement, I have seen corruption beyond imagination, and it all culminated in 2020 to through 2023 when many of us battled against the imposition of total medical tyranny and mass woke indoctrination. Even after that startling Orwellian period, we're still called conspiracy theorists, but the public awareness is changing rapidly. I've seen enough to know that what's happening today is truly unprecedented. We have entered a crossroads, a time when reality is no longer discarded for the sake of collective comfort, and conspiracy becomes historic fact. It's an exciting time to be alive, but also potentially hazardous. The truth needs to come out regardless. Nothing can be fixed until the source of the rot is uncovered. That said, the mantra, ignorance is bliss, is one that America has been living for a long time. I think Americans are desperate for the truth and are desperate for reform," unquote. But notice this commentator understands the impact of reporting the truth about political happenings, and that the exposure of sin, the source of the rot being uncovered, is necessary before a turning. Now, this swing in political conservatism in America is not spiritual revival. It's not conversion as we know it. But let me suggest that it's preparatory. Before a nation can ever return to Christ, people must begin to accept some basic theistic principles. They need to believe that there is a law of nature and nature's God. They need to believe in natural law, which the left rejects. They need to understand that morality cannot be based on human choice and humanism. And people need to understand that moral law is not a human construct, but it's fixed by God. That gender is not a choice, it's fixed by God. that the life of a baby is not a choice. It's protected by God's law. And those are conservative, traditional Western values. Jeremiah chapter 6, stand by the way and see and ask for the ancient paths. Where is the good way and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. And really, this is the law, these principles. And these principles become our tutor to lead us to Christ. It's exactly like Isaiah chapter 40, which says, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness, make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And I always wondered why there had to be a preparatory teaching before Christ arrived, specifically the ministry of the prophet John. But I've recently come to understand this point. Because if a people think that truth is a human construct, that truth is relative, that morality is human moral autonomy, and if people begin to think that morality is based just upon diversity and equity, and they begin to think that we're just all victims and oppressed by Christian values, such a people are not ready to hear, let alone receive the gospel. Would you agree? No one is going to come to Christ who believes the Marxist view that Christianity and Christian values are the problem with this world. That Christian truth is holding mankind down, because that's Satan's position. Now again, embracing conservatism and conservative values is not salvation. But as Jesus said to one man who answered him correctly, Mark chapter 12, when Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, Jesus said to him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. You're not there yet. You're on the path that will lead to the cross. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to know what that guy said that put him on the path. Don't you? Well, in the context, this man agreed with Jesus' hierarchy of values. That God comes first. We must love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And that's really the first command in the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other God before me. That truth needs to be singular. That truth originates from God. That God needs to be first. And because that man held to those truths, God said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. So do you see there has to be some principles, some theistic principles that precede coming to salvation? And I've heard the testimony of many that the day I received Jesus Christ as Savior, is the day my politics changed. But I've also heard people say, my politics changed before I came to Christ. Do you have to become a Republican to be saved? No, you don't. But you do have to believe in God's moral authority and His law over human autonomy and your own self-affirmation. Now, a lot of Christians have a weak stomach when it comes to addressing political values and positions, fearing that addressing such public moral values will offend and turn a lot of people away from the gospel. And so it's true, we need to be very careful. But no one is going to come to Christ who has a hatred for biblical moral values. So we must let the law do the work of convicting the soul. Being red-pilled, agreeing with the law of God in the inner man, precedes genuine salvation. Now, another subject here, just quickly. There are really basically three views or opinions circulating in evangelical circles in regard to evangelical or Republican conservatism, even in regard to Trump and the current administration. The first view would be that this is God's team. This is a great spiritual revival. But I believe most evangelicals would reject that assessment, because that would be a very low view of conversion and Christianity. But a second, very prevalent view coming from Never Trumpers is that a belief in conservative republicanism is a deceptive apostasy. It's just as bad as leftism. It completely leaves God out, but even worse, it pretends to be Christianity. And people would say, well, it's not really God speaking, it's really of Satan. It's man casting out demons promoting Christian values and bashing the left by the power of Beelzebub. Now, I personally reject that view for the same reason Jesus did. Luke chapter 11, Jesus said, if Satan is divided against himself, how is his kingdom going to stand, right? Good fruit is of God. So really, I hold to a third view here. Political conservatism, the whole movement, is really just preparatory. It's just halfway there. You're not far from the kingdom of God, but you're certainly not there yet. It's God showing the nation how things can be and should be. Just like in the case of God raising up the righteous King Josiah and the reforms he did in Israel right before the destruction of Israel. Plus, the whole movement buys some more time for the church. As one politician said back in 2016, it was asked by a reporter, what does it mean that Trump won and Hillary Clinton lost? And he said, well, it means that I'm not going to jail, at least for the next 4 years. Which is a good point. So my point is, if you haven't gotten it yet, is that God speaks to us through his providential work in rulers and magistrates. Isaiah 52:10. The Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of all nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God. But in conclusion, here's our mission for God. God is preparing hearts through world events, but he wants us to preach the gospel to complete the message. We're to bring those who are not far from the kingdom of God the rest of the way. In view of this red pilling in America, this slight uptick in conservative values, we need to double down on preaching the gospel. Now, secular conservatives are arguing for conservative values on a pragmatic basis. But the Christian community needs to explain what's really going on, explaining the true reason for the cultural war, that this is a battle between man is God or God is God, between humanism versus Christ. And we need to explain the spiritual choice people need to make in regard to which side they're on. So take, for example, the immigration issue. The administration and the head of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, has been running ads saying, do the right thing and self-deport. And you know what the left says to that. There's steam coming out their ears. Because they're absolutely sure that doing the right thing is open borders and welcoming illegal immigrants. So in this regard, why do people have moral compasses that point in completely different directions? Because for the right, values are based upon the higher law of God. And in this case, natural law concepts of the existence of nations and boundaries. What the individual wants does not matter. In fact, what the individual wants never matters when it comes to right and wrong. But for the left, what the individual wants to do trumps everything. They believe justice and freedom means individual moral autonomy. The will of the individual becomes the source of law. How could someone tell them no? They believe that people should be free to do what they want to do, and to say otherwise, you're a Nazi, you're an authoritarian, you're a hater of the human race. And so the left bases morals upon what is called expressive individualism. You'll hear that word. It's being your authentic self. You've heard that before, right? Truth is based upon your own inner feelings. People's choice and their identity should never be criticized because it's who they are. And that's the new definition of human rights. Now, yes, there are many sub-issues involved in the immigration debate, but the left would not lean so much in the direction of open borders if it weren't for the fact that they base ethics and morals upon human autonomy and freedom from any outside source of authority. That's why they hold to the positions they hold to. And they hate it when someone tells them no. So they hate it when other people are told no, and they become allies to all those who are aggrieved by moral law. And this is why there is an intersectionality in all of the groups coming together to protest, where the same groups that are for illegal immigration are also joining with those protesting for abortion, for transgenderism, for homosexuality, for men and women's sports, for anti-Zionism, for social Marxism, because they all have one thing in common. People should be morally autonomous. Man is a law to himself. It's a satanic motto, do what thou wilt. And any higher law upon man is considered oppression. Does that sound familiar? Genesis chapter 3, Satan's original lie in the garden. God just wants to keep you down with his rules. So really it all comes down to humanism, man is God, or Christianity, God is God. It's really Satan versus God. And before you come to Christ, you have to decide which team you're on. Is God's authority right or is it not right? And all this needs to be explained to the public because most of the public is just lost in all of the nuance of the political arguments and the news stories. Not realizing what this is all about is you need to do business with God. You need to submit to his authority. And if you've come to agree with the fact that there is a higher law to which you must submit, the law of nature and nature's God, then you have been red-pilled. You're not far from the kingdom of God. And then you're ready to hear that you must also submit to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is God come in the human flesh to die a substitutionary death on the cross, to pay the penalty for our sins, and to be saved, we must believe on Jesus as both Lord and Savior. And that completes the message. So thank you for being here. Thank you for loving the Word. Come by my my table. I've got, for those who have children ages 8 to 12, I've got free copies of World Magazine for Kids. So, you know, subscribe for your family or to grandkids. It's a good resource, and I always like to promote World Magazine. And I also wrote a brochure, Christianity and UFOs. Now, I'm not really into this. I don't wear tinfoil hats, but people had questions about it, and I did some God and Country YouTubes about it. So I made a little brochure. So if you know if anybody would be interested in that, there it is. I consider it evangelical theological candy to hand out to people. And it's kind of an interesting subject. But I think you're going to hear more and more about that. But God bless you. Thank you for being here. And get the message out.